Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be here. Did you turn your phone off? Just a friendly reminder. Can you hear me in the back okay? I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Today, brethren, is day 21. I hope you're all counting. We're counting our way to Pentecost, and God tells us to count each day. God made us a wonderful, wonderful promise regarding Pentecost. He promised, brethren, to give us the Holy Spirit. If you'll turn with me to Joel 2:28, we can read that. Joel 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He promised that for us, brethren. He knew the importance of that promise. He knew what it meant. He knew what it would do for us. He knew the capabilities it would give us. Why do we need the Holy Spirit, brethren? The Holy Spirit is powerful. You can read that in Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit connects us to the Father. It allows us to communicate with Him. The Holy Spirit will lead us if we will let it. Romans 8:14. It grants us a sound mind, and it's the source of God's love. 2 Timothy 1:7. God, brethren, has blessed us with many, many incredible blessings and incredible promises. I want to go over just a couple of the promises today. My sermon title is God's Promises Give Us Hope. God's Promises Give Us Hope. But the purpose of my message today, brethren, is different, a little different than that. The purpose of this message is the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. It's kind of a funny statement when you think about it. What in the world does he mean by that? I'm going to explain that as we go along here. The first promise that I want to go over is to me so very reassuring, so very, very comforting, that I think about it a lot. I think about it almost daily. And it just means everything to me. God will always love us unconditionally. How beautiful is that? Because I know how unlovable I am and how undeserving of love I am. But our loving Father tells us that He will always, always love us unconditionally. To me, that gives me such comfort and such hope and such reassurance. And I spend time thinking about that regularly. God is never against us. No matter how we've botched up our life, no matter what we've done to cause trouble for ourselves, trouble for others, no matter how much we've hurt others and ourselves and the church, God is never, ever against us. He loves us unconditionally. 1 John, the sermonette was incredible preparation for this message. God, like I said, loves us. He knows what He's doing, even when I don't. And He brings it all together His way, week after week after week. That's W-E-E-K, not W-E-A-K, which kind of is all about me. John 4:8, 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God. Why? Finish the verse. For God is love. What does that mean? Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? For lots of reasons. So he could pay the penalty for our sins, so he could offer us life. But in this verse it says that we, his children, his little ones, us weaklings, that we might live through him. How do we live? Through Christ. Through love. We use God's love, and through using God's love, we live through Christ. What is God's love? Well, brethren, we need the Holy Spirit to use God's love, to have God's love, to receive God's love. And to get the Holy Spirit, we all needed Pentecost. This is day 21. Counting to Pentecost. To reach day 50 when Pentecost is fully come. It's partly come now. It will be fully come on day 50. Verse 10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for all our sins. Beloved, notice how God talks to us. I like that. It makes me feel good inside. Beloved, if God so loved us, how did God love us? He sacrificed his Son. He went through deep agony and heartache for us. They gave us everything they could give us. They have held nothing back. All that is created, God offers us to share with us. All that is, has occurred, has happened, and is happening to allow us to become his children. But let's finish that verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He means to love one another as Christ and the Father love us. A new love, a powerful love, an incredible love that helps us to help each other. When we help each other, when we love each other through God's Spirit, using Christ's love, through the conduit of the Holy Spirit, we, brethren, are helping each other, and we are learning how the giver of that love is learning how to give. Those watching the experience happen are seeing the results, are seeing love in action, and the receiver of the love is humbled and is thankful and is appreciative. And it isn't the giver that did anything. It isn't the receiver that received it. It isn't those watching. It is God. We are living through Christ when we do that. How incredible. Because of Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And it's through that Spirit, it is through the power of God Almighty that we can love as only God loves, as only Jesus Christ loves. Until the Holy Spirit came, until it was given to us, God's love in the world was, the people in the world could not love through the Spirit. It wasn't available. Now God gave it to a certain few. But an entire world cut off from the power of Almighty God. The importance, brethren, of Pentecost is incredible. The importance of what happens as we humble ourselves and yield to that love is incredible. All of you that have children have seen your little child grow up. You saw an attitude that is so beautiful and so wonderful to watch. Your little boy is over on the floor playing. And you say, "Johnny, bring me that ball." And he looks up at you and smiles. "Johnny, bring me the ball." And he stands up and he picks up the ball and he walks it over to you and he gives it to you and he grins a big grin. You can't help but hug him and love him. You notice when you said, "Johnny, give me that ball, bring that ball to me," you didn't say, "Why? What do you want with my ball?" He didn't say no. He was happy to do it. He didn't need no why. He trusted you. He wanted to please you. That's why he had the big smile. And he brings it over here. "I did it. I don't know why you want it. It's mine, but you can have it. I don't care." That's the child. That's the attitude that God wants us to have. There's something unique about building this relationship with God. He tells us to do things. The why is learned by doing it. We as adults and as carnal and as selfish and as vain people want to know why first. Why should I tithe? What's in it for me? Why should I give money to this organization? Why do you want me to do this? Tell me why it's important. Tell me why it helps me. Tell me why it's good for me, and I'd be happy to do it. But God doesn't work that way. Because any healthy relationship is based on trust. And for us to build that trust with God, we just have to do. We learn the why by doing. Just like that little baby, that little boy, or little girl that brought the ball. Didn't know why. Didn't care. He was doing what his daddy told him or his mommy asked him to do. That was what was important. We have to have that attitude. We have to have that heart. We get that heart. We get that attitude through the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God that we receive by obeying, by doing. And it works without fail every time. Down at verse 16, we're still in 1 John 4, verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. It's the same thing. God is love. If we abide in love, we're abiding in God. It's a synonym. Love, God, same thing. But listen to this beautiful part, Brett. Listen to this, this finger straighter. Listen, the last three words there. And God abides in him. The union is complete through the Spirit. We love, we abide in God. And when we love, using the Holy Spirit and God's love, God abides in us. We have a union. We have a way of communicating. We have a way of growing close to God that God can only describe by the marriage itself. The human marriage that he gives us. The union a man and a woman obtain through marriage is as close as God can get to describing the love that he wants for each of us and that he wants to share with us and he wants us to learn to have with him. That's why marriage is sanctified. That's why marriage is holy. It represents a relationship we are all reaching for, a holy relationship. In verse 18, you know how much of God's love you have just by these first part of the sentence here. There is no fear in love. Why? If you're in love, if you have love, you're in God. If you have God, what more do we need? What more do we need? We have our Creator. We have the most powerful force in the universe. He loves us. We have his help. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment of what we will get when we are changed upon our resurrection. What more do we need? What is there to fear if we are in God? But perfect love, see, we don't have perfect love yet. Perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear involves torment. Love has nothing to do with torment. They're opposites. They're not connected. They're not related. There's nothing in common. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And here we all sit. We all have our moments of fear. We all have, sadly, our moments of doubt, our moments of wonder. And when that happens, brethren, we need to think about where we are in our relationship with our loving Father. Are we in him? Is he in us? Love casts out fear. Remember that. If you have fear, you're not there yet, and none of us are, sadly. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. Does that make more sense now? The Holy Spirit makes it possible to use godly love, to live in love, to be in love with God. How beautiful. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. God will always love us unconditionally. And he wants us to love him unconditionally so that we can serve him and be a light to this world and help each other walk the Christian life to please God Almighty. Promise too. I left out a verse, and I'm not going to go back and get it, or I'll be here longer than I should. At least longer than you'll want me here. Second promise, God will be with us. God will be with us and strengthen us in all our trials. That's amazing. Hebrews 13:5. Because in my life, I hate saying this out loud because it just sounds so awful, but in my life, I've caused a lot of my trials, sadly. And it shouldn't be that way. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. Because we all have our moments when we need help. We all have our moments when we find ourselves in trouble or in a scary situation or a health tragedy or a car accident. We all need to know that God is with us. But he's not only with us, brethren. He strengthens us, and he helps us through each and every trial. Notice what verse 6 says. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? How beautiful. Notice the relationship when you do truly believe that God is your helper, that God is your friend, that you are in God and God is in you. What is there to fear? Because if something bad is happening, it's happening for a reason. Maybe I caused the reason, but God is powerful enough, God is strong enough, and God loves me enough that even when I've messed up, God will use the tragedy that I have created to teach me, to educate me, and probably a lot of people around me that are watching me befuddle my life. But God is big enough and powerful enough to bring us through any trial. That does not mean there won't be pain. It does not mean there won't be suffering. It does not mean there won't be tragedy. But it does mean God is watching us carefully, is with us, is talking about us with Christ, and they have a solution to rescue us. If we will cooperate, if we will turn to God in love, if we will use the Holy Spirit. A lot of ifs, a lot of variables. And God is watching to see how we handle each one. Because he's looking at Christ and saying, how much do they love us? How much do they really appreciate it? How much do they believe in us? How much do they trust us? We created the universe. We created them. We have a plan for them. Do they believe it? With all their heart, are they willing to pick up the ball and walk to Daddy with a big smile? Say, here's your ball. I don't know why you want it. It's yours. Are we willing to do that, brethren? Do we have that kind of faith? 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, none, not one, has overtaken you except as is common to man. In other words, brethren, there isn't one thing that any of us in this room are going through that hasn't already tempted, tried, tested somebody else. So there's no need for us to feel sorry for ourselves. There's no need for us to think we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, because we have God. God is in us. And we, if we love, are in God. And if we have that, and if we don't forget that, we then can conclude and know that God is with us through this difficult time. But God is with us through the Spirit. To have the Spirit, we need Pentecost. This is day 21. This is how it all works together. This is how it all comes together. Us, looking with fervor and intense excitement for day 50, when the first fruits are resurrected, when the first fruits see Christ and God face to face, when we give an accounting and talk to God about our life, and God goes over our life in review, just like you have when you're on a job and you have your annual review. He's going to give us a review. You have these strengths. You did real well here. You built this tool. You used some of the assets I gave you. Because you have done all this, I'm offering you this position. And we were face to face with Christ and God the Father, and we will go through that. How beautiful. But God is faithful, continue on in the verse, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond, I lost my place, what you are able. But with that very temptation, will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. What is that trial you're going through? God has all kinds of options. I'll tell you one that I had. When I got the job for the pipeline company, that was, I'd gone through all this before, so I'll make it real short. But anyway, after sending resumes all over the world, I had given up, and I went to God, and I said, I'm done. I've done everything I can do. You're going to have to do something because I'm done. 2 weeks later, we get the call. It's a Sabbath, and I didn't take the call. But Mary took the call, and I called him back that evening. I went and interviewed. He offered me the job. And when he offered me that job, brethren, I knew the trial had ended. Just that fast. The day before, I had no idea what was going to happen to my life. And the very next day, everything I needed, everything that had to happen, happened. I told God I couldn't do any more. I said, this is it. I can't do anything else. And that's when God said, yes, but I can. And out of the clear blue, somebody I didn't know, somebody I'd never heard of, called me. Solved my problem. The trial ended. I used to be able to snap my fingers, but it doesn't work anymore. Like that. God can end your trial in the snap of a finger. He can give you the strength to walk through it. He can make it possible for you to go around it. It's our job to do everything we can do, and God does the rest. But we have to show Him we're willing to work. We have to show Him we will do our part. Because He will make the way of escape. How beautiful that you will be able to bear it. A test. He loves us so much and wants a relationship with us so deeply that He's willing to allow us to suffer, to force us to trust Him. Because if we don't ever suffer, our trust grows very, very slowly. Why do we trust God when we don't need Him for anything? Now that's a fallacy. That's the bald-faced lie. But when you have all the physical needs, it's easy to believe a lie. And it's easy, even if you say to yourself, I know I need God, it's easy to live your life as if you don't really think you do. I was doing that, brethren. I'm ashamed to say, but I was. And God took care of me and taught me and instructed me. And through a terrible trial, I learned how selfish I still was, how untrusting of God I still was, how unwilling to let Him lead me I still was. But He changed that, and I am so thankful for that trial. I am so thankful that He brought me down, that He made me see myself more the way some of you could see me, the way God saw me. What a blessing that He loves me that much, that He will humble me. It didn't seem gently at the time, but it was. It seemed rather violent to me, but when you're suffering, you don't have a true perspective on what's actually happening either. So, 2 Corinthians 1:3. As you notice, I didn't tell you how many points I was going to give you, because I actually had no idea myself, because I tend to get held up in things and don't move as fast as I had intended to. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this part. This is so beautiful. The Father of mercies. What a name. The Father of mercies. I love it. Someday we can be that way. But brethren, we can be that way now. We can be merciful to everybody we come into contact with right now. And learn that skill. And learn that trait. And develop it. And mold it. And become a tool that God can use to help all of us. And the God of all comfort. What a Father we have. He will comfort us. He will help us. He wants to help us. He doesn't like to see us suffer. But He likes it when we learn to trust. He likes it when we pick the ball up and with a big smile on our face, hand it to our daddy or our mommy. Because we're showing we trust Him. We're showing we believe in Him. We don't need to know why. Because of trust. Those that don't trust need to know why. Those that don't believe have to have a reason. We, brethren, are not in that category because we have already received the blessing of Pentecost and God's Spirit. We have already developed a relationship with God. Every one of us needs to continue doing that. None of us have the relationship that God wants us to have, but we are all doing it because of the promises God gives to us. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's beautiful promises. How fantastic. How incredible. Promise number three. This may end up being a little abbreviated, but that's okay. Promise number three. God will work out all things for good in our lives. I don't care if you have a health tragedy. I don't care if you're ruined financially. I don't care if you've lost your job. I don't care if your spouse has left you. I don't care if your children have left the faith. I mean, I do care, but you know what I'm saying here. It will work for good in the end. Maybe not right this minute, but in the end, it will work for good because of God's love, God's power, God's trust, God's belief that He wants to share with us and give to us through love, which comes through the Spirit, which is why we need Pentecost, day 21. Romans 8:28, to get started with this, God will work out all things for good. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We are His children. He is our Heavenly Father. He didn't call us to fail. He didn't call us to lose out. He didn't call us to hurt us, to persecute us. He called us because He loves us. And He knows with each of us, now is the best time. Do we truly, deeply believe that now is the best time for each of us? Are we willing to work with all our might, all our strength, everything we have within us to help our family reach for that goal? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to help each other, to use that love? Because through that love, we have a relationship with God. Through that love, God gives us peace, contentment, joy. Through that love, we have security. But not if we don't do it God's way. We have to quit being critical of each other and love each other. We have to quit picking at each other and say, I'd never do it that way. I don't know why they're doing that. It's such a waste of money. Why did they do that? I would have done it this way. Well, when you're in charge, you can. Right now, you're not. So it's your job to support them and help them make their way work. If they want the table to go diagonally for the next sip and snack or sip and serve or whatever we call it, who cares? What difference does it make? If they want to use polka-dotted tablecloths instead of bright orange, does it really matter? Does it really take away from your happiness if there's no tablecloths? Can we still commune and have fellowship and love each other without a tablecloth? Does it matter if the coffee pot is under the coffee to the left or to the right? If the handle is left or right? Are we going to complain because the parking lot doesn't have complete white lines every week, freshly minted? Does it matter? Where is God's love in each of us? You know, brethren, none of us have any idea how much Kosmowskis do to keep this place running. I can tell you that right now. None of us do. None of us understand the money they have spent out of their own pocket to make this nice for us. And they're never going to tell us, because that's the kind of people they are. We need to appreciate and be thankful for what God, through the Kosmowskis, has blessed us with. And we need to show godly love to everybody in this room. We don't have to set up chairs anymore. What a blessing. There's so much, brethren, we have to be thankful for. Let's count our blessings. Let's thank each other for our blessings. Let's thank each other for the service all of us do, unannounced, unasked. And let's love each other. And let's respect each other. And let's give freely, freely, brethren. Not giving to get a thank you. You know, I gave them that dress 2 weeks ago and they still haven't sent me a thank you card. What kind of Christians are they? What kind of a Christian are you? Did you just give it to get? Or did you give it because you love them? We need to think about our actions. We need to think about what kind of a Christian we are. We need to think about how much of God's love we have and how much we are using. We are God's children, deeply loved by God. We are His little ones. But we're not to remain little, brethren. We're to grow up through God's love, through God's Spirit, which we get because of Pentecost, because of the sacrifice of an eternal being that became human because of His love and His desire to have a relationship with each of you, and thankfully with me too. Hebrews 12, 9 through 10 will be our final scripture. It wasn't that way in the blueprint, but oh well. Hebrews 12, 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, our human fathers. But God for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. And how is that available, brethren, but through the Spirit that we get because of Pentecost and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? And a plan designed by the Father and Christ to save us, because they want more than anything else to have a close, intimate, detailed, loving relationship with each of us. And they're waiting for the lights to come on in our heads for us to realize that that's truly what we want too. So, brethren, we have gone through three promises. God will always, 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 always love us unconditionally. Always. Even when we're being snotty. God will be with us and strengthen us in all of our trials, even if we're the sponsor and creator of the trial. God will work out all things for good in our lives. Because this is day 21, counting to Pentecost. And because God, above all else, loves us deeply, wants to be our friend, and wants us to want Him as much as He wants us.